Welcome back to Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca. You'll find us on YouTube at The Stand Show. Follow us on your favorite podcast channel. Mark, Janice, thanks so much for being with us today. We've been talking about your fight for workers' rights all the way up to the Supreme Court. Nikki, you had a great question we were just talking about.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to ask you, even though you took a stand for workers' rights, I mean, that was what you were doing. You were taking a stand for workers' rights. You've been wrongfully demeaned and even threatened as a union buster. The union that was supposed to protect and represent you turned against you simply because you were standing for the fundamental constitutional right to free speech. Can you share with us about that experience? What happened and how did it affect you and your family, the backlash? Can you describe what happened and its impact on you guys?
Well, initially, I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. Didn't even tell my own mother. Because, you know, I didn't know what kind of backlash I would receive, if any, and I knew there probably would be. And not knowing the outcome of what was going to happen, there's no point in making a big deal out of it, and then you get disappointed. But at the time that the petition went to the Supreme Court, and then they accepted it and said they would hear the case, well, that was all over the news on a national basis. So it was a little hard to keep it quiet at that point. So that's when, you know, the union really got on my case, you know, with news articles, all kinds of op-ed pieces, et cetera, et cetera. And the people at work, that was surprising because even though they didn't overtly come out, but I could tell by looks, I could tell by, you know, people that I used to talk to all the time now just wouldn't even speak to me. I'd have people that I'd meet in the hallway and they'd kind of brush up against me, you know, like, eh, you bum, you know, type of thing. And, you know, so it was, you know, they thought I was basically a pariah is what it boiled down to. And kind of an interesting sidebar to that is that I eventually did tell my mother I was going to the Supreme Court and I was handling this case. And of course, she, you know, pondered that for a second. And then she said, you know what, Mark, you know what they did to Jimmy Hoffa?
Oh, that's comforting.
You know, yeah. And I said, well, you know, thanks for the support. Of course, my two children were very much in, you know, support and said that, you know, they supported me, of course, and the like, but they were somewhat concerned. But I kept their names totally quiet and my whole family totally quiet because, you know, obviously I didn't want anybody coming after them and the like. So there was a time also during this process when, you know, I had a lady come to my house. And she put a post-it note on my door in the middle of the night. It was like 2 or 3 a.m. And it said, I told you we knew where you lived. And, of course, we know that it was a lady and it was a time because I had installed some security cameras at the front door, the back door, and a security system. And we went back and replayed the tape, went to the authorities, and they said, well, we really can't do anything. Because you didn't have any no trespassing signs up. So you're kind of on your own in that regard. But that was the only thing that happened then. Of course, there was a couple other instances after the court decision came down in my favor that, you know, things got a little more ugly in that regard.
How did it get more ugly?
Well, after the decision, I was in New Mexico, you know, talking to people and trying to promote what's now known as Janice Rights. And I found out that there was a gentleman up in the state of Washington that had posted on Facebook that he proposed that somebody ought to go out and try to kill me. And he did not get any takers on it. So he posted again and said, well, I guess I'll have to do it myself. And after I do, I think I'm going to eat his brains because I bet you they taste good. Well, obviously this guy was, Totally all there. So the FBI got involved, and eventually the gentleman was arrested and so on. But he'd also made threats against Trump at the time and other public officials. So he wasn't singling me out, but it was still very disturbing nonetheless.
Of course. Well, I'm sorry, Mark. I imagine that wasn't the only death threats you got.
If there were others, I'm not aware of them. I think the union knew that if anything did happen to me physically or otherwise, quite frankly, would probably go against them in a big way, in a very negative way. So I think they kind of put the word out to, lay off any kind of physical threats or other types of threats. And they mainly did it through, newspaper, media, that sort of thing.
Well, can we follow up? I want to move to something a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, that was the downside of it.
That was tough.
Everyone knows taking a stand comes at a cost. But
they often don't see the cost or hear about the cost. They hear the sort of the heroic side of the story, right? The happy ending, so to speak, but they don't often hear what it took to get there. And that's why it was important to ask those questions, and thank you, Mark, for being so open about it. What was it like, when you got to the Supreme Court? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I actually got to the Supreme Court, of course there were. When we walked in, there was lots of, protesters and others, not a large amount, but some. And quite frankly, it was just overwhelming. Here I am walking into the Supreme Court building as a plaintiff in a lawsuit and going into the courtroom, which is packed, because every time the court has oral arguments, lots of attorneys, lots of media and the like. And here I was introduced to the governor of Illinois. I was introduced to Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education, and other notables. And quite frankly, it was just overwhelming. But when Justice Roberts called my case, to hear your name called by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is just kind of blows your mind, if you will. And then as the arguments proceeded, when you hear the arguments back and forth, and let me clarify something for people. The Supreme Court, when they hear a case, it's more like a debate. It's not what you see on Law and Order or some of these other TV shows. My attorney would get up and make some presentation. He would be interrupted, by a justice and asked a question. He would then continue his remarks, and then maybe another justice would interrupt. And we go that way on both sides. They would interrupt the union side. They would interrupt my side. And it's a debate. It's back and forth and back and forth. Quite fascinating, really, but also very much a blur.
That's the beauty of our republic at work. There's those two sides of the story, two positions on something. People in an orderly, respectful way debate the issues, and the justices listen, ask probing questions, then they debate amongst themselves, they argue amongst themselves, and then they draft their opinions with their justifications for them. I mean, it's a beautiful process when you see justice work out in that way, even if the outcomes aren't always what we might want them to be in a particular case.
It's part of what makes our country great. Yeah. So, Mark, we know that you're not a lawyer, and there's a lot of debate about all this. However, you are pretty close to the case, and you've lived this out. What's your take on what the court decided in this 5-4 ruling?
Well, I think what they decided, and the main point, is that if you are a union member, you give up your First Amendment rights to that union and to that authority and the administration or the officers of that union. And they speak on your behalf. If you are not a member of the union, you retain those First Amendment rights. You can speak for yourself and you can make your own decisions. And that is the basic context of the case, that each individual employee, worker, whatever you want to call yourself, you have that right to make your own decision. However, once you become a member of a union, you lose that right. You give it up. And that's why in the decision that Justice Alito wrote, he said, you must be given the ability to make that decision for yourself. And it has to be declarative. It has to be clear. And you have to be informed of your rights. Now, as an example, we're all familiar with Miranda rights. If an individual is arrested, they are read their rights. Well, why is it when a new hire goes into a government office, why is it that they're not given the same rights, such as what's now known as Janus rights? Why are they not given those rights?
Just like your point when you said, I didn't realize I ever gave that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that is the only thing that is there. Mm-hmm. However, unions don't like that idea. They don't like the idea that you have a right to make your own decision. They want to make it for you.
Let's pause there. That's an important point to take up after this break. Make sure to subscribe to the Stand Show on YouTube or Stand with Nikki and Kelly on your favorite podcast platform. We are with Mark Janus, the gentleman who is an ordinary worker who took his case all the way up to the Supreme Court to fight for workers' rights. And we will be back right after this on Stand.